and welcome back to the Dreamcast. I am your host, Denise Walsh. I combine science, scripture, and stories that will inspire you to dive deep, break through your own personal glass ceiling, and design a life of your dreams. Do you feel like you've not been able to make headway in achieving your goals? Or did you start the year pumped, ready to move forward on making things happen and simply lost your way? Things don't need to just get better. They actually can be better. In Design Your Dream Life, I'll show you a proven pathway to take you from where you are now to a life filled with joy, wholeness, success, and fulfillment. I'll give you the keys to not just developing a plan, but taking massive empowered action to make your dreams a reality. Turn roadblocks into stepping stones and leverage the power of gratitude and forgiveness. Let's face it, taking massive empowered action and making your dreams a reality isn't always easy. So I'll be there with you every step of the way. Visit dreamlifetoolkit.com to purchase your copy of Design Your Dream Life, obtain resources, and join our free community. Again, that's dreamlifetoolkit.com. Big, big welcome back to the Dreamcast. Our next guest is an award-winning speaker, author, and certified man builder who helps Christian men win at what matters and frustrates them the most as husbands, fathers, and leaders. He has authored 9 books, including Are You the Man?, 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me, and The Real Man Spiritual Leader Blueprint. He's spoken for more than 750 organizations, churches, and universities in 4 countries, and he's a columnist for All Pro Dad, Lifeway Men, and Promise Keepers. He's also the host of Real Men Connect, which is the number one top-rated radio podcast on Apple Podcasts for Christian men. You guys, we all have Christian men in our life that we want to support and would love to see level up and thrive in all areas of life. And our next guest is going to help share with us exactly how he helps men do that. So big Dreamcast, welcome to Dr. Joe Martin.
Thank you, Denise. It's a pleasure being here. I feel honored that I get to talk to some women for a change. I know we got some dudes out there, but I know I love. I kind of miss working with educators and teachers. I used to primarily work with women. So I'm excited about giving them some insight to how they can best love and support us, even when we're hard to love.
I love that. It's true. We want our marriages to go from good to great. We want our souls to be thriving in all areas of life. And men need community, just like women do. And I think women are often maybe understand that. Maybe we ask for it ourselves and seek it out a little bit more. So I'd love to hear a bit about how you got passionate about pouring in to men, Christian men specifically, pouring into their leadership, helping them to thrive. And then we'll go into what you do now.
Well, I'll give you the ESPN version of my story. And I wish it was a pleasant journey to tell you I got there. I got here the hard way. When I mean the hard way, that means I had to learn the hard way. My whole story, summary of my life, I hate to oversimplify it. It could be said this way. I went from rags to riches to ruined to redemption. And the rags part is a very horrific childhood growing up without a dad, teenage mother who had 2 kids by the time she was 17, who was also struggling with alcohol and depression, sexual abuse. I had to suffer and endure for about 3 years when I was a child, watching 6 of my friends die before I was 16. And anything else you can imagine that came out of that story. That was the rags part. The riches part is, in spite of that, I became the first person in my family to graduate from high school and go to college. I became the youngest professor ever hired to teach in the state of Florida at the age of 24. Had my doctorate degree before I was 28. Had written my first book before I was 30. Traveled all over the country, all over the world speaking. Worked for the Florida governor's office as communications director. That was the richest part. The ruin part is that because of my traumatic past and not dealing with that junk, thinking I can outrun it, I thought I'll be fine. But I tell men all the time, if you're going to try to bury something, which we try to do a lot as men, if you're going to bury something, make sure it's dead, because it would come back like a zombie coming up with his hands on the ground, say, I'm coming after you. And it came after me, and I allowed it to destroy a 16-year marriage with my wife and destroy my family and my life based on my choices, but it's my choice not to deal with the trauma of my past. So I pretty much lost everything. So I had it all by the age of 30, lost it all by the age of 40. That was the ruin part. And then redemption part came when a man came into my life and pretty much taught me how to be a man, even though I was moving into my 40s. And that's a humbling thing when you reach the age of 40 and you realize, I don't know how to be a man. Oh, I can be a successful male. I've proved that I can be a successful male in business. Started my first business at 22. You know, I can prove I can be a successful male, but I couldn't, but I was failing as a man. And that man helped not only help me, but opened my eyes to realize that there were a lot of other men just like me who look like they're adults. They're shaving. They got mortgages, but they have no clue on how to be the man that God has called and created them to be. Because if you ask any male, even whether they're a believer or a non-believer, do you want to be a successful husband, a successful father, a successful leader in your home, raise healthy families, have a healthy marriage? Every man, even non-believers, will tell you, yes, of course I do. But if you ask that same man, how many of you have a man like that in your home who raised you and showed you how to do it by loving your mother, by discipling those children, or mentoring, if they're a non-believer, mentoring those children? And what I found that even in the church, if this is bad in the church, you imagine what it's like outside the church. When I go across the country, less than 10% of men, when I ask them to stand up, had a dad or any type of male role model in the home that taught them how to do husbandhood, fatherhood, marriagehood, whatever hood you want to call it. When I went back to my mentor, the guy who helped change my life, I asked him, what can I do to repay you for all you've done for me? Because now I'm remarried. I've been restored, redeemed, great kids, great life. And he says, Joe, just do one thing for me. I said, what's that? He says, go make disciples. Go teach them what I taught you. And now he didn't know I was going to turn into an organization, a nonprofit organization that's now impacting men in 136 countries with the top rated podcast in the world for Christian men. He had no clue. Matter of fact, I just talked to him, Denise, this morning before I came on this call. We talked. He's still been discipling me for the last 16 years. And so I only launched this Real Men Connect about 6 years ago. I've been doing this. Prior to that, I mentioned I worked with educators for 20 something years, and I left that to do this. So that's how I got here. That's the ESPN version of it.
Well, number one, congratulations on all of the quote success in all areas of your life, even though it took a bit to get there. Before I became an entrepreneur, I was a clinical psychologist, and I got into that field because I wanted to work with adolescents. I was like, adults are screwed. They already have their habits, but kids, like,
they sound like me when I was in education.
But kids still have hope. Like, they just need someone to believe in them and that kind of thing. And then as I got into the field and then started my team in entrepreneurship, I realized that adults are just big kids and need just as much support, just as much belief, just as much skill building as a 16-year-old might. And so just because someone is 40 doesn't necessarily mean they've learned the coping skills or the emotional skills to, as you said, man up and be real, be a successful man in all areas of their life. So
I often tell my men, I said, age doesn't make you mature. It just makes you old.
It's true.
That's all it does. It doesn't make you mature. Maturity takes some effort and some work.
It's true. Now, do you find
age regardless?
do you find that does it take some sort of rock bottom or some sort of situation to actually have somebody say, yes, I need help in this area? Or I can imagine there's a lot of people out there thinking they're, quote, just fine and don't know that they can be better or would ask for that help. Do you find are people hungry for this? Are they ready for it?
Yes, they are. And we find out that they kind of have to go their own path. I hate to say the majority of us as men, we have to hit rock bottom. And the way I describe it, because we have a lot of women who refer their husbands to us or their sons because they're looking for that mentor, that person who can coach their husband. And I tell them, they said, I don't understand my husband. Everything's falling apart. How come he won't seek help? I said, well, you have to understand us. Most men, not saying all men, but most men, you can tell us that there's smoke. Baby, I smell smoke. Oh, that's nothing. You said, baby, you know, the house is on fire. The fire is in the living room. Don't worry. It's not going to get out of control. I said, that man won't move until the couch he's sitting on is on fire. And by that time, he's wondering, baby, why are you leaving? He said, well, you don't burn down the house and everything else. The only thing we have is a burnt couch. And then we're wondering, why is he gone? Why is she leaving us? And so that's, most men have to wait that long. Unfortunately, Denise, that was me too. But there's some guys who are wiser than us, who, when they realize the pain of not changing is greater than the pain of change, then they will change and seek help and come to us. And we also have those guys who, if they're not in that category, they come to us because they see that the pain they're causing others is greater than the pain they want to endure. And they'll reach out because they see it in their wife's eyes. They see it in their children's eyes. But I don't care how they get here. But unfortunately, when they come here on that third category of rock bottom, they probably lost more than they were willing to lose. And that was me too, as well. So I empathize for that guy, even though he may feel lost and say, wow, I'm just nothing now. No, unfortunately, I can relate to that. But we get them all. We get them all from different paths.
Well, and I can imagine, regardless of how low their rock bottom is, anybody who comes to you says, I'm ready for something new. What I'm doing is not working. What I'm doing is not working. Maybe some pieces are, but I'm ready for support. And it sounds like you're also saying that because only 10% have had a good visual mentor, good example in their life, you are able to provide not just coaching, but also community of people who are leveling up as well.
Yes, we're huge. I tell men all the time that a man is only, and I guess this applies to women too, because I work with men, I'm always talking to men all the time, is that a man is only as strong as the support he has of other men in his community. And the way I get men to really grasp that, because we're kind of like Lone Rangers, we think we can do it. And even being a Lone Ranger is a myth, because even Lone Ranger had Tonto, he wasn't by himself. And so, but I always ask men this. I said, do you ever work out? Do you ever go to the gym? This is when they get it, Denise. I said, do you ever work in the gym? They said, yeah. I said, you look pretty strong. I said, can't you lift more if you have spotters? They said, yeah. I said, you can always lift more if you have spotters. I don't care how strong you are. You can max out by yourself. But if you get two spotters, you're going to lift even more. And that's when it tends to click, like, wow, who do I have as spotters in my life? And that's when they see that, wow, I need help.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It's not saying you suck and need to change. It's not. It's saying let's gain support so we can.
This common sense.
Grow.
This common sense. You can
do
more with help. I love using this analogy too, because I hate it. I hate moving. I just want to sell the house and leave the furniture. We just get new furniture when we go to a new house. That's what I try to tell my wife. But I ask Ben all the time. If you move, is it easier to move your furniture by yourself or to get others to help you move? They say, oh, to get others. I said, so would you ever attempt to move the furniture in a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom home by yourself? They said, no. I said, that's what you're doing with your life. You're not seeking the support. You can move that by yourself, but it's going to wear you out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Why do you think that some men fail repeatedly and need to hit that rock bottom?
Because we have a misconception of what we think a man really is. And I call it the Asians. And because, again, I was guilty of this, Denise, and we're indoctrinated in life, believers or non-believers. We are indoctrinated to believe, I'm talking about for men, that we are our manhood is defined by what I call the Asians, occupation. What do you do for a living? That's the first question we ask when we're on a plane with someone. What do you do for a living? Then we want to know compensation. Now, we won't ask you how much you make, but based on your answer to occupation, if you tell me you're a heart surgeon, I kind of assume you're not broke, you know, as opposed to I'm a janitor. Now, your identity should not be defined by your occupation or your compensation. But we think we're not men unless we have those things, as well as level of education. Now, if you went to Harvard, they're going to look at you differently than you went to your community college in your local area. And so if that person's not educated, if that person doesn't have a formal education, we're thinking he's not educated. Has nothing to do with you being wise. It just means you don't have a formal education. Or we also define it by our reputation when it comes to men. How many people know us? How many women like us and attracted to us? That's our masculine reputation. How strong do other people think I am? Which is really the other category, intimidation, based on our physical strength, our physical prowess. that people fear us. If they're not fearing you, then you must not be a strong man. So for a lot of us, if we have to run the course of realizing it's not those Asians, that we hit our rock bottom and say, wait a minute, I tried occupation, I've tried compensation, I've tried education, reputation, intimidation. Now, Denise keeps telling me about this thing called salvation, about her hope and her joy is found in this, what, Jesus guy? What is that about? How he didn't have a great occupation. He was just a carpenter. He seemed to be not living a rich lifestyle. His compensation didn't seem that great. And the last time I checked, he didn't go to the best Bible schools or seminaries, but his reputation preceded him based on the love he had for other people. So he wasn't intimidating other to the people who were his enemies, who tried to stop him from making their lives uncomfortable. So I think a lot of times we have to go through that rock bottom and hit there if we keep trying to find our identity in anything but Christ.
I love that. It's true. I mean, I think women too, we say, am I just a mom? And we often clothe our identity in external situations, external approval. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us wake up one day, whether it's a quarter life crisis, you get out of school. And, you know, for me, I say I was off to change the world. And then I realized that wasn't going to work. In that clinical psychology job, I was working with people that didn't really want help in a situation that couldn't really help them. And I woke up and said, is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Or maybe you have that as a midlife crisis. You know, you have years of climbing the corporate ladder and you get there and you go, mm-hmm. Is this all there is? I mean, at some point we say, all right, what the world teaches is not working. And so what you're suggesting is to clothe our identity, find our identity in Christ. Tell me a bit more about how a man switches that perspective and finds that internal validation.
It takes time because he has to be discipled. That's what happened to me. And when I say disciple, we could take the spiritual term off it. He needs to be mentored and coached on how to. One of the biggest problems that we have as men is that we walk around, and women don't know this, but I'm sure women struggle with it too. And we're not, at least you guys talk to each other about it. We won't. We walk around in shame and guilt because even though we may act hard-headed and stubborn, we know that we're not, quote, measuring up to what you think we should be as men, as husbands, as fathers. Because you'll hear men say stuff like this, which is kind of like the death sentence. And I'm telling women they should be very concerned when you hear a man say something like this. You know what? I'll never be able to satisfy you. I'll never be able to make you happy. You will never be. It's just, I don't even see why I even try. Nothing I do is good enough for you. I'm paraphrasing different phrases that he uses, but that comes from a shame. It's not really you. It comes from a place of shame. He doesn't feel he measures up to God because he has a wrong view of who God is. And so once a man realizes you're not what you do, you're not what people say, you're not your past. Oh, it may explain you, but it doesn't define you. You're not what others think of you, including your wife. You're not who even you think you are. You're who God says you are. And when you find your identity in him, that's when things will change. But you won't be able to find that identity in him until you have a right view of who he is. His identity, when you see his character and realize how much he loves you and that you are lovable, then your identity changes as you grow in him. But again, it doesn't happen just by itself. Somebody has to lock arms with you, put their arm around your shoulder and say, hey, follow me as I follow him and I'll show you. It starts in our home with our children, with our wives. And then it gets into our brothers and our men. It starts in your church. Think about this. Very few people, when they go to church and they get saved and they come to the cross and give their life to Christ, ever does anyone usually walk up behind them and put their arm around and say, okay, now that you made the greatest decision in your life, I'm going to walk with you along this journey and show you how to cultivate and build a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. And so you can see who you are in him. That just doesn't happen. And that's the problem, Denise.
Yeah, well, we live out of our perceived identity. And so what I think is super interesting is that the power of having people to pour into us, to guide us, to show us the way, and to be there when we fall down. I think that coaches, therapists, like people who are helping others grow are so needed because so often we live out of what we know and we don't know the other side of the coin or other options that could be out there. And so we're living out of this what I call here, which is like the life that we understand. And so even if we want life to change, we can think about it all day long. We can even try it. We could even go do something different. You know, those who make New Year's resolutions and then go to the gym one time. We'll always revert back to what we understand and what we believe is normal. And so what we need to do is to level up our environment, get around people who are doing and having what we want to experience. So then not only can they support us, guide us, and teach us, but we can change what we perceive as normal and shift that identity.
And Denise, you know, I think one of the biggest obstacles for us, now I'm saying men and women, for us to overcome, but especially men, is, you know, I worked in education. And when kids would come to us, I taught first grade, I taught high school, and I taught college. And we always give diagnostic tests to kids to find out if they have a learning disability or they're not functioning properly. And then we like to put labels on kids. This kid has ADD. This kid has ADHD. And what I realized is that I know why we do it out of convenience. But if now that I'm now working with men, I realize too that men as men, and I think women too, but especially I can talk to men, we suffer from an undiagnosed learning disability. And you alluded to it, Denise. You know what that learning disability is? ABT, ain't been taught. And we weren't taught. We don't know. And even if we do know, we don't have anybody, we haven't been taught how to apply it. And so ABT is running rampant in men, and no man wants, he thinks he's going to lose status, even in your eyes as women, if we confess to you, I don't know what I'm doing. I wasn't taught. I don't know how to love you the way you're asking me, inquire me to love you. I don't know how to love these children and connect with them emotionally the way you're requirement to do. I don't know how to communicate that way that you're requiring. I want to do it, but I'm ABT, ain't been taught. He won't tell you. That's the problem. But he will suffer in silence until somebody like us, and I say us, organization like us who cater to men to say, hey, we know how you feel. I know you're scared to tell your wife, but guess what? We got a lot of brothers who are ABT, ain't been taught. Let's learn together in community.
Yeah. Oh, so good. There's two things I teach my team when we're growing through and offering forgiveness and to ourselves and others. And you said a lot of men and others, right, are walking around with that shame and guilt, feeling they're not good enough, feeling like they don't measure up. And the two affirmations or statements that I teach them is that we're doing the best that we can with the information that we have at that time.
Right.
Now that I know better, I'll do better. And that can be used for ourselves when we feel like, dang it, we messed up. But it also can be used with others when you feel like they're not living up to our perceived expectations. They don't know what they don't know, right? And I think a lot of us don't know what we don't know, which is why we have this opportunity to seek out others who we can learn from. So tell me a bit about how you coach and how you mentor and how you can help people grow and really level up in all areas.
Basically what we do, we have a pretty simple model. I call it the five C's. Now I just came up, so you can probably change the letters around, but to me that makes it easy for me to remember. And so, and I tell men that what I've learned from doing the research, and when I say research, that's interviewing over 400 men of faith on my podcast and learning how they wrote their comeback story. Because a lot of men have a comeback story like mine. I'm not a unicorn. People say, wow, that's amazing how he was able to turn his life around. He had everything, lost everything, came back. No, there are thousands, maybe even millions of guys like that. I'm trying to get their stories. And so I can at least introduce it to my audience so they can see that they're not what I call suffering from terminal uniqueness. You're the only one who's going through that. There's other guys who bounce back. Also looking at how Jesus modeled his life. So our model is based on five things, five principles. One, that we believe that every man must have a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. And we're going to show you how to do that. Now, Denise, you notice how I emphasize the word how. I'm not going to just tell you to do it. Oh, now I know, but I need to have this. No, but who's going to show you how? We want to show you how to do it. So we train every guy on how to build an intimate relationship with Christ. Now, what's ironic about that, we get men who are pastors coming to us and people who just got out of prison. Now, you would think a pastor would, quote, already know this by now. Guess what he is? Secretly ABT, ain't been taught, but he's leading a congregation of people, but they come to us. So that's the first thing. The second thing we do, we put them in community. That's what we've been talking about so far. We put them in, get them plugged in. Now, I love how I describe community people. Is they're all different races. They're all different ages. We have them as young as 20, as old as in their 60s. And we have every nationality you can imagine. It looks like heaven. That's what our membership looks like. It looks like heaven. You wouldn't know if we have a Black organization, white organization, Latino organization, until you see my ugly mug. And you say, oh, it's a Black guy leading this thing? You know, so, but we put them in community. We all come from different areas, different backgrounds, different ethnic groups, but we're all trying to pursue the same thing, the Super Bowl. Now I use Super Bowl because they can relate to that. Because men know that you can get drafted in different rounds. You can be a rookie. You can be a veteran. Look at Tom Brady right now, 40-something years old, going to another Super Bowl. But guess who he's going against? Patrick Mahomes, who's young. Totally two different guys, but they're pursuing the same goal. So we get them in community so they can pursue the same outcome. Then we get them connected. And this is critical, not only to a community, but an inner circle of guys who they can tell their deepest, darkest secrets to, and you not judge them over it. See, now you may have community, but come on, Denise, there's certain things you can tell your community and some of the women going to look at you funny. Like, I can't believe Denise did that. That's your girl. But she can't believe you put a pillow over your husband's face when he was trying to sleep. You tried to kill him for the insurance money. Now, everybody's going to look at you. Some going to look at you funny, but there's going to be that two or three girls, that those women in your life who say, girl, come here. I know you had a crazy moment, but we still love you. Now, we'll come visit you in prison. But, you know, we'll be praying for it. See, everybody needs an inner circle. Jesus had that. He had the disciples, 12. Then he had an inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John, who was with him at his best of moments and at his worst of moments. Then our fourth thing is that every person needs a coach, a mentor, a guide, somebody, like you said, to pour into them. Guess what? Timothy had Paul. Elisha had Elijah. We had what? Aaron had Moses. Joshua had Moses. David had Nathan. And we can go on and on. They had somebody that was pouring into them to carry the mantle, who's going a little bit farther ahead than them. And then everybody needs to get counseling. You mentioned that you're a clinical psychologist before you got here. You know, and I know now the hard way, you knew it from formal education, that, oh, I can't outrun my past. I can't bury it. I have to deal with that junk. I got to pull it. I got to pull back that rock and let all those bugs run from underneath it. And I have to expose this to light. I have to talk about that sexual abuse. I have to talk about what that divorce did to me. I had to talk about what that domestic violence did to me. I had to talk about being bullied. I have to talk about being abandoned. I had to talk about being neglected. Yes, everybody needs counseling. And even that's biblical. Jesus said, I must leave so I can send another, a comforter, a guide, a counselor to lead and guide you in all spirit and in truth. That's our model for how we support men. Those five things. Now you see why I named them C, could help me memorize it a little bit easier. That's Christ, community, connection, coaching, and counseling.
I love it. I mean, it's really full person, whole body. You know, it's not just one aspect. It's providing the fun, but it's also providing the depth. And I think sometimes yes. Communities can be fun, but that doesn't mean they're healing. And so to be able to provide right. accountability and a space for that tough conversation, when you're in a safe place, you really and allow those hard things to come up. So much healing happens. I mean, that's why these spaces are so profound. So for wives out there who are like, I love my husband and I see him three steps ahead of where he may see himself. What can we do to support our husband's growth?
Wow. I think what you can do is try to have a lot of patience with him and grace towards him. I know he's probably done a lot of things that not by intention. No man is intentionally seeking out to destroy his marriage and to break your heart. We do it out of ignorance. We do it out of pride. And so to be patient with us, to get him into community as much as you can, not by telling him he needs it, not by forcing him, but we know you guys are smart. Kind of grease the way for them to get into community. Say, hey, man, I'll give you an example. You could say that I mentioned our podcast. Man, I was listening to, now I know I don't know what I was doing listening to this men's podcast, but I was listening to this podcast and it spoke so much to my heart and stuff I was struggling with. And I wanted to share with you because I wanted to talk to you about how I struggle with it, but I wanted you to listen to it so you can understand. Now, what he's thinking, I'm going to come to my wife's rescue. But when he hears the message, it's going to minister to his heart. And so the best thing that I would say for a woman to do is to have patience and grace with your husband, to try to help pray for him to be in community, pray for him to get that connection. And if you can't, if you don't see him moving towards that, at least put him in position that he can choose it. Put him in, you know, find a couple who you see are growing and say, hey, let's have dinner with them. Invite them over to dinner. Now, what I want the women to not hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't tell him what he needs. Put him in position for him to figure it out. Does that make sense, Denise? Let him think that he came up with the idea, is what I'm saying.
Women are very good at that already. Yes. We are like.
So I don't have to teach you guys how to do that. Y'all know. Because, you know, I realize, I look back now, my wife has done it with me.
Yeah.
You know, she does it with me, especially if there's a guy she really wants me to connect with. She will set it up that we're working out together because my wife runs a fitness gym. And so she said, Joe, such and such is going to be here. Man, you should come. You know, I know you're tired of working out around all these women all the time. We got a guy. And then when I meet that guy, some of those guys end up becoming some of my best friends. And I know now, and I look back thinking I was smart because I built the relationship, but my wife set it up and I didn't see it. She thought, that's the kind of guy I want my husband to hang around. And here's one way to find those guys. I tell men this, and men hate when I say this. I said, look at the circles that you're hanging around. I said, if your wife wouldn't consider marrying that dude you're hanging around, you shouldn't be hanging around him either.
Ooh,
they hate that.
That's good.
Men hate when I tell them that. They said, Joe, why in the world would I want to hang around men that my wife would consider marrying? I said, because what's the opposite? Hanging around a man your wife wouldn't consider it. So now she's going to question your sanity and your intelligence. Why is my husband hanging around a fool? As opposed to hanging around a man that you can learn something from, who can pour into you and sharpen you. So now when you hang out with your boys, she's not wondering, how come he's not spending enough time with me? Matter of fact, she's going to be pushing you out of the house to go spend more time with him. That's what my wife does. She gets me out of the house to go hang out with my friends because she loves the men that I hang around. So you guys already know how to do that. Put them in position to win and be patient as you wait for that win.
Yeah. It makes a big difference, the people we hang around. As you know, they say the five people you hang around are who you're going to become. And
it's
I wonder
dictate your income. It's going to dictate your joy. If you're always depressed, you're probably hanging around depressed people. Hang around people who are passionate. Hang around people who are on purpose. Hang around people who are in pursuit of something, and it's by osmosis, if you hang around long enough, it's going to rub off on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of those five people I've learned is really the movies we're watching, the music we're listening to. A lot of the media that we consume is impacting us in an emotional level, whether we realize it or not. So I've often included that in the five things when I'm talking to people. Well, what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you doing? Because that is absolutely impacting the way you view yourself in the world. Now, you have several resources, including your top-rated podcast, Real Men Connect. So you guys definitely go over there if you want some more resources for how to, for more comeback stories, for hope that families can thrive, that all, you know, that you're, the men in your life can truly thrive in all areas. But I also know you have a 30-minute video entitled Five Things Every Christian Man Needs to Know to be the hero in his own home. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's about?
That goes back to the five things you were asking, how we coach and how we model, because most men don't know, like you said, Denise, they don't know what they don't know. Yeah. They're not even thinking about those five things. Now, it may be a fleeting thought, but when they watch that video, because they were thinking, okay, what are these five things? And then the way we break it down in this video is very compelling, that it makes them do a self-check. So now the wife is not telling him, you need this, you need this. He's going to tell himself, do I have that? Do I have community? Do I have connection? Do I have coaching? Do I have counseling in my life? That's what motivates them to reach out to us, because they never thought, I didn't realize, one, I needed this. And then I didn't realize how deficient I was in these areas until I watched that video. Now the woman doesn't have to try to convince. She doesn't have to try to persuade, because the revelation, why they say the clouds part, he realizes that, wow, I need that. And then from there, he can find out more about what we do based on his choice. Or he could choose to walk away and says, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that or watch that. But he's going to have to deal with those issues in his life right now. So that'd be the best way. And the best way to go check that out is go to realmen300.com, realmen300.com. And Denise, the reason why we call it the Real Men 300 is because John Wesley, the great father of the Methodist movement, he had a quote. He said, give me just 300 men who love God, hate sin, and claim to know nothing but Jesus crucified. He said, we will set the world on fire. So that's what our organization in pursuit of, those 300 men who are ready to change the world by starting in their home first.
Amen. Amen. Realmen300.com. Definitely, I'll put all the links to your websites and your podcast and all that fun stuff below. You guys, check it out. I mean, we all need support. And as women, we may seek it out a little bit more. We may go ask for it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't create that in our homes and for our husbands as well and our sons. I mean, think about the ability to take to learn ourselves and then to transfer that to our children and truly disciple them, not just live with them, but truly disciple right. them on a heart and mind level. So thank you so much, Dr. Joe, for sharing your wisdom with us today. I totally agree that ABT ain't been taught. We don't know. So let's find people who know better so we can do better ourselves. I so appreciate you and thank you for your wisdom today.
And thank you, Denise. It was such a pleasure and such an honor to finally meet you. And I'm hoping that somebody out there can grab on at least one of those nuggets and hopefully they'll change their lives.
Absolutely. Have an amazing day, my friends. We'll see you in the next podcast.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. I want to hear your aha moment from today's amazing episode. If you could leave a review at whatever podcast player you choose to listen from, Apple Podcast, CastBox, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening from, leave a review and share with us your favorite part of today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And remember to dream big.